On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we turn our focus, the church focuses us on, in these last immediate days of preparation for Christmas, on the Blessed Virgin Mary. And today we have this gospel of the Visitation, where on hearing the word of that she is going to be the mother of Christ, and hearing the word that her cousin Elizabeth is expecting St. John the Baptist, now 6 months pregnant, Mary goes to visit her. And I was preparing this homily this week. I have the Spanish masses this weekend, so say a prayer for that. I always feel kind of guilty for that because I'm not able to do much with a homily in Spanish, but I give it the old school try anyhow. But one of the things I noticed, though, in reading the gospel in Spanish was there were two different words to describe the Blessed Virgin Mary, where in English only one word was used. In English, we have Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then a little later, she says, "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." In English, it's blessed in all of those, the same word. But I noticed in Spanish, it's two different words. The first two, the blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb, is bendita. And the second one, blessed are you who believed what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled, is dichosa in Spanish. And that got me kind of curious. Well, what does the Greek say? Because that's what the real text of the New Testament is. So I went and tried to look it up, and guess what? It's two different words in Greek, just like the way the Spanish has it. And I just got wondering, well, were they just wanting to sort of change it up a little bit? You know, just like not use the same word over and over. Good. We just couldn't come up with another word in English to use or something like that. But I think there's actually a little bit of distinction. And maybe that's the reason why there are two different words in Greek and also then in the Spanish translation. The first part, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And the word I think that's used in Greek as well as the word in Spanish has to do with being blessed essentially externally, in external things. Like, for example, blessed are you among women. You know, you are known to be blessed among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you in this child that you have born. But the word then that Elizabeth uses then to praise Mary, blessed are you who have believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. She's being recognized there for something internal, for her faith, for believing. We can't see faith, can we? Blessed are you who believed what was spoken to you by the Lord. And so Elizabeth really didn't see Mary's faith, but she saw the fruits of her faith, didn't she? Because how did Mary come to Elizabeth? It says she traveled to the hill country in haste. The Annunciation that is just before this gospel happened in Nazareth, right? Nazareth is in Galilee, the northern part of the Holy Land. Elizabeth lives in a town of the hill country of Judea, down close to Jerusalem. It's a long way away. It's a hard trip. It's a dangerous trip. It's kind of amazing to think of a young woman like Mary undertaking a trip like that by herself in those circumstances. And yet she went in haste to go see her cousin Elizabeth, who needed her. And she went. And Elizabeth saw that. She also saw, must have seen something pretty amazing. Because Elizabeth also says, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How did Elizabeth know that? How did Elizabeth know that Mary was the mother of her Lord? Mary hasn't said a word yet. She must have seen something very special in Mary. Transformed by her faith in joy and strength and courage. A radical transformation brought about by this interior blessing, the interior blessing of her faith. And it got me thinking, you know, maybe we're not so much known for being blessed, but we can be blessed in that interior sense if we have faith like the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, it's not easy to believe the way that Mary believed. That's not an easy thing to do. We basically have to surrender to God to do that. That's what Mary did. When Gabriel came to her and said, will you be the mother of Jesus? And she said, be it done unto me according to thy word. I surrender to you. But we have a very hard time surrendering. We're pretty much control freaks, I think. You know, we want to control everything. And in order to have faith like the Blessed Virgin Mary, we have to surrender control. We have to do that. That's why I think Mary was so joyful and brave in this rushing off to see Elizabeth, because she had surrendered to God. She trusted Him. She wasn't trying to rely on herself. She could not have done any of these things. And we can't either. But when we will live in faith, when we will surrender to God, then we can have this joy that she had. We can have this courage and fortitude that she had. That even though our faith can't be seen, its effects can be. People will say, she must be a person of faith. He must really believe. I know for myself, this is another one of the fruits. I keep telling you about all these good things that have happened to me during the pandemic. But one of the things, I think I've kind of gotten to be like, like little old ladies who come into church to pray all their novenas and things. They got maybe a Ziploc bag, and they sit down, they pull out all their novenas and start praying. I think I'm turning into one of those little old ladies in some way. I've gotten into like novenas and things like that. And there's this wonderful novena called the Surrender Novena. And the line that it keeps bringing you back to is this: oh Jesus, I surrender myself to you. You take care of everything. Isn't that a great prayer? Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. You know, and He will. He will. And when we surrender in that way, there's joy and there's courage, because it's not up to me, it's up to Him. And I found that prayer, that surrender novena, to be very helpful to try to maybe grow just a little bit in faith. You know, another one of the great saints who did this sort of thing was Saint Therese, you know, the little flower. Have you ever read some of her things? She was kind of obnoxious, to tell you the truth, in some ways, in the way she would talk to God. She said, God, I can't do this. You're going to have to do it. So do it. And guess what? He did. Because He can. And He wants to. We just got to let go long enough for Him to do it. And Mary did. And Mary did. So I was really grateful for noticing those two different words. I might not have the greatest reputation for being blessed or holy or something like that, but on the inside, if I try to have that faith, if I try to surrender as Mary surrendered, then it's going to change things on the outside. There will be joy. There will be confidence. There will be courage and fortitude. Just like Mary's, rushing off in haste to the hill country of Judea all by herself to help out her cousin. And when she arrives there, to be so transformed that not only does Elizabeth notice it, but little baby John the Baptist inside his mother's womb, he notices it too. But it's an interior transformation. It's a transformation of faith. Blessed is she who believed. Blessed is she who believed.